You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for joining me today. I'm going to introduce you to Natalie from Salon Social Media in Australia, a marketing agency for the hair and beauty industry. She's going to share with us the three most important tips to actually make your social media work, to not only have great content, create great good engagement for your brand, but actually getting clients into the chair and into your salon. So it's a great chat and I know you'll enjoy it. Let's jump into the interview. Natalie, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
So you are a social media strategist and provide a done-for-you service, but why don't you tell us a little bit about how did you get into such a business? What's your background? And just sort of take us through your journey to today.
Okay. So my background is I had a salon for 12 years, a beauty salon. I started that when I was 19 years old. I started it in the back of a solarium and I was inspired and I thought it was going to be, it was something that I wanted to do. And then after the 12 years, I had felt like that I did that and it was something that I'd done. And I didn't really know what I was going to do moving forward, but I knew that what I was doing in the salon wasn't what I was meant to be doing anymore. So it was really hard to let go of something that I'd created from scratch and had for 12 years. And then one day I think I just decided I need to sell the business and move on. And the hardest thing for me was people saying to me, what are you going to do next? And when you don't have an answer to that, you almost feel like you shouldn't be moving on. And I think my decision was, or my answer became, I'm going to do nothing for a while. And that was really lovely. So I went to Bali for a year. And in that time, I literally did nothing. I ate a lot of organic food and did yoga. And I started playing online because I guess with my background of having a beauty salon, I always loved the marketing side of it or the branding side of it or but I guess when I was doing this, social media hadn't become so big when I had the salon. I think I got out when it was maybe 2014. So Facebook was big, but Instagram wasn't so big. And when I was in Bali, I started doing an online course, learning how to do blogs and social media. And I played around with that a lot in my spare time. And we created another girl that I met in Bali, she was an American girl, and we created an Instagram page and a blog, which was called Girl Guide to Bali. And in that time, we grew the Instagram page and we had a lot of fun doing it. And we got a lot of free trips around Bali or free accommodation if we were sharing the blog, writing about the hotels that we were staying in or posting on Instagram about it. So we had an amazing time doing that. And then I think after a year, it got to the point where we had done really well, but we weren't actually getting paid for what we were doing. And we had to sort of get real about it. I came back to Melbourne and started working for a few salon owners that I knew from the industry. And that was when Instagram was becoming bigger and social media. And they asked me to just manage their social media because they knew that it was important, but they just didn't have time to do it. They didn't have anybody who could do it that had the understanding of the salon background or marketing in the salon. So I spent my time doing that for a few salon owners for probably about 6 months and realized I loved doing it. And from then on, it just sort of, the business grew. And now we have, a lot more salons that we manage their social media, their Instagram, their email marketing. So that's sort of how I fell into what I'm doing now. So it feels like it's just been a natural sort of a natural progression from what I was doing. And I feel like now I've fallen into doing something that I love, which is, and I'm having a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. So now we have salon owners that are, you know, individual salon owners. They might be like a hair extension, someone who does hair extensions from their own home. And then we've got other salons that might be, they've got like 3 or 4 salons. So it just depends on, what they want. And then we sort of tailor what we do for the salons and how they work.
Now you provide a done for you, but also you teach people to do it for themselves as well.
Yeah, I think with my background, I started my business from scratch. So I know that so many other people out there are doing that. And I think that's amazing. And I think that's like what I love about the beauty industry is that women can go off and, you know, start their own business and be empowered. And, you know, when you do have small budgets, I think that it's nice that we offer the done for you. So for the salon owners that just don't have time, that don't want anything to do with it, we basically take it off their hands. And we also have online courses, which we're launching, and we've done workshops where we train people that want to do it themselves, how to do it themselves. So it's
cool.
Yeah. And I think with, basically so everybody can get involved, because I really think that social media is important, and it's only getting bigger for the businesses. Like, to have a shop front these days isn't as important as it was 10 to 15 years ago. I think you can do anything anywhere. I think the most important thing is having an online presence rather than a shop front.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well
said. And you're going to share some of your wisdom with us today in talking about branding and engagement. So I'm really looking forward to that. Shall we dive in?
Sure.
Right. Tell us about creating a brand experience.
Okay. So on social media, and we specialize in Instagram. So what we've seen is some really great businesses that have everything set up. So they've got the shop front, they've got, you know, 10 to 15 staff. They just don't have a presence online. And what they have been doing, because I don't think they've understood the importance of social media, they've just been posting, and I know you can get these stock photos, like they will post, for example, a lot of before and afters. So the salons will come to us and they'll have, like the old sale sign posters, and they'll just be posting a lot of random things on social media. And it really doesn't represent what the salon looks like when you go to the salon, because they have a beautifully presented salon and they're showcasing what they want people to see when people walk through the door. So the importance of creating that branded content online is really showing people online 24/7 what you look like in the store, what you look like behind closed doors, so people get a real feel for who you are in, like who you are before they even have to come in, so they are inspired to want to come through and walk through your doors. So in terms of creating on-brand content, I think that that's probably the number one thing in regards to having worthwhile social media for your business, and eventually turning those people into potential customers. I think that these days there are so many different types of salons, and social media is an opportunity to really showcase your individuality or who you are or what you stand for in your business to attract your ideal client. So knowing whether you're a salon who specializes in eyelash extensions and your target market's 20-year-olds to 25-year-old girls who love to go out and party on the weekends, or you know, you're going to obviously be presenting different content if you're a skin specialist who specializes in anti-aging treatments for somebody who's, you know, worried about fine lines and wrinkles. So I think creating on-brand content is, in terms of making social media worthwhile, I think if you're getting the on-brand content right, then you can move forward and use social media as a successful marketing strategy for the business.
I think that's really what you've brought up is so vitally important, and it's skimmed over by salon owners, lots of business owners actually, it's not just our industry, but it is actually deciding who your ideal client is, what it is that they actually want, and narrowing that focus, because I think there's a fear around if I narrow the focus too much, what I'm missing out on all the other people, but it's just simply not the case. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think the best way to look at it, and the best way that we look at it for clients that we deal with, which are the salon owners, is for the salon owner to say, who is the best customer that comes through the door? And write a profile. Who's your favorite customer? Who's your ideal customers? Write down a customer profile of what they look like, what their hobbies are, what their interests are, what the conversations are that you have with those clients in the salon. Yeah. And by doing all of that, you get to then see if that's what's going to give you ideas or topics that you want to be creating your content around that you're sharing on social media. I think that as a therapist or a hairdresser, we do have, you know, the attraction that we have once we meet a client and we have them behind closed doors, or we're working on their them intimately, we start to develop relationships with them and we have conversations with them behind closed doors. And when you look at it, you'll find that those conversations are generally always very similar, and you do attract a certain type of client. So I think if you can share that content or share those stories on social media, you're actually putting it out there to a larger audience to then say, when they see it online and it's online 24/7, someone will look at it and say, wow, that's me. I can relate to that. That's the kind of that's the kind of person that I would love to do my treatment, or, you know, I would love to go and see. Like, I feel like they get me. And I think if, you know, you're successful in the treatment rooms or in the salon, if you can be sharing that kind of stuff on social media, that's what's putting you beyond just a promotion on social media, or thinking that you're going to do a few random posts on the products that you stock and people are going to be interested. I think it's really about creating on-brand content, but sharing who you are and what you do on social media. And that's probably more on-brand than your colours or your logo or pretty pictures. That's what I think.
Yes, I totally agree. Okay, so if we've got our ideal client in mind, and we're thinking about what we're posting with for her, and we're giving a really good on-brand experience to see what it would be like if she came and visited us, how do we actually get them to engage with what we're doing? Talk to us about engaging that audience.
Okay, so if you're sharing genuine content, I think that you'll find you will attract the clients that want to engage with you. I think the perfect example that I can think of is getting people to engage is, I know I look on Facebook and Instagram and I see some of the clothing stores that sell online do it really well. So understanding the mindset of the customer. So they will sell online dresses for say around $50 and their party dresses, and then every second post that they do will be a meme or a quote related to the mindset of the person that they're potentially wanting to sell the dress to. For example, one of them will always have on a Friday night something funny about drinking wine or something that they did with their friend, and encouraging their friends to want to tag their friends in it. That's a really great way to get engagement. So And then you're obviously generating engagement. People then will come to the page and they understand that that's the mindset of your business. And then they'll start to see also what you actually offer. In saying that, I think that it's important to understand. So, for example, you might have be talking about facials. You might find a skin quote or a meme about skincare or something that your sort of ideal audience can relate to, and then they're going to be inclined to want to share it. You're not going to post something that's completely off-brand. And I guess that's understanding when you have your content on brand, you'll find that people would generally want to engage with you naturally a lot more. I think also in actively creating engagement to do that, if you, for example, you might know that your ideal clients are all at the gym or the fitness center down the road or at the yoga center. So you can always be really active on your social media, and you might see the yoga studio down the road has an Instagram page and they have 10,000 followers. And then you have a look at their followers and you see that they are your ideal client. They fit the demographic, they're women, they look after themselves. I would then go to their pages and then you can even start to engage with them. So liking their posts, you can follow them if you think that they'd be an ideal client, and generally that creates them coming to your page, seeing who you are, what you do. Again, they might have that moment when they're like, wow, these people really, they're the kind of people that I like. And then they'll start to engage with you, follow you and like you. I think also going and seeing what, when you do that as well, in terms of creating like one-on-one engagement, it's really good to find posts that genuinely are connected to as well, and leaving comments and creating conversations on social media on other people's posts. That's a really great way to do it on Instagram.
Yeah,
to engage regularly.
Okay, so let's kind of re-qualify what the word engagement is, because really it's commenting, liking, following. That's an engagement, right? When we say we need to engage to grow our reach.
Yes.
Which is just numbers of eyeballs. So if we want to have more eyeballs on our brand, we need to be commenting, liking and following our clients, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the number one way to do it on Instagram. I've found that we've had really great success with people doing it that way. Once they know that you exist, they come to the page, they would, you know, they start to follow you and they'll like you, and then they actually know who you are, and they wouldn't have known who you are before that. And I think that's, yeah, actively engaging with people on social media and knowing who the right people are to engage with. You don't want to be engaging with somebody that's, if you're a local salon, you're not going to be bothered to, unless you really love them, you're not going to be engaging with somebody who's in a completely different, you know, time zone to you. So sifting through that as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's all good, useful stuff that we can go away and start getting busy. Of course, it's a little bit time-consuming, but the thing I love about this is that we can kind of do it when we're sort of doing other things, watching TV. In terms of an activity to be actively growing our business, right? Or for me, it's like while I'm waiting, watching the kids do their gymnastics or whatever, doing my little bit on my phone at the same time, multitasking.
Yeah, and I think that that's like a lot of people do say, and that's why they, some people do outsource us to do their social media. But it is one of those things that if you do it, you do get the results from that. Like the people that are doing it well, they're getting the results. But I wouldn't be bothered to be engaging with people and spending that much time and effort if you haven't mastered creating on-brand content and you don't have a page that really represents who you are. There's just, yes, you know, but if you do have all of that in place, then I think that it's quite worth it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's a fair comment. Yep. Good advice.
Yeah.
Otherwise they're going to come to your page and not get the right experience.
Yeah, and we do have like some people will contact and say, you know, we've done social media, we did an advertisement on Facebook and we didn't get any response from it. And they might have done the advertisement for 1 week and then I look at their page and their page doesn't look amazing and I wouldn't want to go and see that salon based on what they have on Facebook because it's not consistent, it doesn't, it's just all over the place. So I think that, making sure that it really represents who you are and then looking at doing things like engaging Facebook advertising. You don't want people coming into the store if the reception looks like a mess.
Yes. Good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's a layered effect, right?
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. Number one, create on-brand content and then start engaging with people when you're ready.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yep. So what's in that case? So we've got the right content, we've got the ideal client, we're engaging with our audience now to get more eyeballs and a bit of activity. Mm-hmm. What's next? How do we get them actually into the salon and make an appointment?
Okay, so you've got your on-brand content, you're engaging with people, you've started to build up a following, they're liking, they're commenting on your posts. I would then make sure that you have an email sign up. I think social media is great because you can put yourself out there and it's a little bit like dating. You can get out there, mm-hmm. introduce people, meet people, show them who you are, what you look like, a little bit about what you do. And then there comes the point where if they really love you, they are going to want more. And Instagram and Facebook is limited because, you know, the information is fast and it's short snippets. I think having an email sign up, a link in your bio, and always an email newsletter sign up on the website. You want people signing up to your email. And again, I'd have an offer to get them to sign up. So whether it's an incentive for them to come in for a special offer to come into the store. But yeah, definitely have an email sign up. People are going to eventually check their emails more than their social media and you'll find people will engage more consistently and they're also going to buy more consistently if you have their emails. In saying that, have the email sign up, but then you need to be then sending them emails. So I would suggest having a nurture sequence email set up. So getting clients off Instagram and then I would say have an email that's set up once a month and it might be a series of six emails over a 6 month period and everyone introduces or talks about, what you do, why you do it. You might have an email showcasing some results or real life stories, images or videos of what's going on in salon. So it's not necessarily a direct sell saying here is a special offer to come into the salon. But you're again showing people more of who you are.
Yeah.
And people love that. They're going to start to trust you. They get to know you. They get to think even more like this is the place that I want to go to. And I think that is, it's a necessary thing. If you're going to be spending so much time creating content, engaging with people on social media, you do want to get their email address.
For sure. Okay. All right. And then really the key to the email address is staying in touch because there's no point sending them one email and giving them an offer or a voucher or something and then just see you later and hope for the best.
Yeah, definitely. And I think... you have to have that. Like if you're going to have, it's about creating trust and building a long-term relationship with people. So I think if you're starting at the start, creating on-brand content, you know who you are, what you do and what you stand for, and you're sharing that and communicating that with your content, then the person will say, hey, that's kind of like me. I feel like these people get me. And then, they're not going to make a decision to get their hair extensions done with you over a week. After 6 months or 7 months or maybe 3 months, they're going to say, wow, like I feel like I trust these people. These people are the people that I want to spend my money with and that I want to go in and see. And I think that's what makes the difference.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because, you know, the hair and beauty industry is such a personal industry. It's not like buying a pair of shoes or a dress. You know, it is a personal thing. And I think there's a lot of fear for consumers who are going to visit new service providers, whether it be hair or beauty. You know, there's this fear factor that they're going to get it wrong, and the cost if they get it wrong to their self-confidence and self-worth is so high.
Yeah, definitely. And there is a cost. For example, we did I've done some social media for some food businesses or restaurants, and they do really well on social media because it's instant. You see a smoothie and you're happy to go there in that week and try the smoothie for $10, and then the cost, like it's not that scary because you could get a smoothie for dinner or another smoothie the next day. But if you're going to choose somebody to do a skin treatment on you or your hair, you want to really know that they're going to do a great job.
Yes.
And in saying that, with the emails and the automation emails, I think if you set that up once, you've done it. It doesn't have to be done again. It's all on autopilot. And that's going to be the thing that brings people in the door. And that's the thing that separates you from other people who are just doing step one or step two. Because over a 3-4 month, other people aren't doing that so much. So I think if you get that right, long term, it can be a really good thing for your business.
Okay, I love that. I'm just going to hone on that word automation because I'm a huge advocate for that, and it's something I talk about a lot with my all my listeners, and something that resonates with me a lot, you know, because there's enough to do, right? Any given day, week, month, just by the time we do the clients and we do manage the staff. So if you can set up an automation sequence once and let it do its thing, once it's working, of course, then you're home and hosed. So can I just talk a little bit about email sequences and being able to send emails and, as you call it, nurture people over a period of time for them to get to know you, like you, trust you before they make their purchasing decision, which you're probably right, isn't that kind of, you know, 6 to 9 month period, right? It can take that long. So you're sowing the seeds today for the outcome for tomorrow. But I want to talk about Salon Bot because it's a product that I have. It's relatively new, but it's utilizing Messenger instead of email for exactly the same sequence and strategy that you were talking about. You get your content right, you get the engagement right, and then when you draw them into some nurture sequence that's going to actually turn them into a customer. What I love about doing that with Messenger versus the email is a couple of things. One is Messenger is really personal. So you get in front of somebody in a much more personal way. You don't have to be quite so formal. Two, it comes up on your lock screen, and the notifications for Messenger are much more easily accessible. And I don't know if I've called it this. I don't know if you resonate with this, Natalie, but, you know, we have this email inbox black hole. You know, we get inundated with stuff in our email. And I think there's a bit of email fatigue, shall we say. You know, people get so many emails, and so open rates are, you know, as low as 20% and 30%. But on Messenger, open rates can be anywhere between 75% to 100% open rates. So that to me is really exciting. And it's easy because it's just using sign up through Messenger. There's no writing your email address in. You just get connected automatically. So it's super quick. So that's another tool to use for that same strategy, but just in my opinion, has a little bit more cut through. And we're having fantastic results because not only does it do that, but it also, you know, the other thing that's growing is people reaching out to salons, you know, 11 o'clock at night, because this is when we do the stuff, right? The kids are in bed or we've now stopped for the day and we can start thinking about our hair and beauty. We're messaging at 11 o'clock at night, and that's really exhausting for salon owners who've just finished a long day and now have to, we don't want to turn the clients away. So the salon bot can actually manage that and talk them through without you having to be involved, make them an appointment, and you can just carry on, have your glass of wine or go to bed early or whatever you need to do and not worry about that part. So again, honing in on that word automation, I'm super excited to bring that to the industry.
Yeah,
and help with that strategy that you've just talked about. So,
yeah, so I really would like to know more about this.
We shall talk.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, I think that's hugely valuable, and it's, you know, it's just exactly the kind of stuff that I wholeheartedly believe that you're right on point. And listen up, salon owners, this is what we need to be doing if you want to not only be creating a really great brand, building a following, but actually getting them in your chair and turning them into clients.
Yeah. And I think as well, it is all about automation, and every step doesn't have to take a lot of time. I think what we do is we have worked out ways to automate things so you aren't spending more time than you should be on it, and you can be spending all the time in the business. I think that's because I think people think, oh, social media, should we bother, or it doesn't really matter. I think it does matter, and you need to figure out, to what degree does it matter, and just getting the basics set up now for the future, I think, is really important. I think you don't want to get left behind.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, look, it's been really insightful. Thank you so much. And as we work towards wrapping up, you're a business owner yourself, and so you know what it's like, and you've had a salon too, so you know what it's like. Yeah. What's a quote or a mantra that kind of keeps you going as a business owner?
I think just for me, it's making sure that I love what I do every day and always choosing to do the things that I love in the business, and that's what keeps me going.
And how great that you've been able to go away and turn that around for yourself and your life and actually do the things that, you know, that you love.
Yeah, I think it's an achievement to be able to, be doing what you love every day.
Absolutely. Okay, what about a book or a webinar or a podcast that that you've read that would be really useful for those that are listening now?
The first book that comes to mind for me is a book by a man named Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I was lucky enough to see him at a workshop. And the book's called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, and it has to have that understanding of who you are and why you do the things you do and why you choose the things you do. It also allows you to understand your clients and how to attract the ideal clients as well on a very deep level. So that's probably my favorite book that comes to mind.
Yeah, fantastic. I love the title, I have to say. It's really cool. Because something I've been talking about recently, actually, is, you know, sometimes we are our own worst enemy and we get in the way of ourselves. We're the ones that hold the business back sometimes. And so I don't know if that book sort of connects with that at all, but certainly sounds like
it. Yeah. That's exactly right.
All right, yeah. Natalie, I know people are going to want to come and stalk you and find out where to find you. So can you tell us your Instagram and dub, where can we find you?
So Instagram is Salon Social Media, and our website is www.salonsocialmedia.com.au. My email or my contact information is on both, and we'll also be setting up and launching online courses next year in February to teach salon owners ways to do their social media best. That's not going to take heaps of time, so we're really excited about that.
Fantastic. All right. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your words of wisdom. It's been there's been lots of great tips in there, so I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So there you have it. Social media for salons, the strategy you need to know to make it work. Actually get those clients into your chair. Now, this month is social media month in the Salon Owners Collective Hub and Resource Centre. The whole month is dedicated to it, making money on Facebook. We've got some great guests coming along to share more in-depth how-tos, when-tos, what-tos. So I encourage you to come and join us at the Salon Owners Collective Hub, and I shall put the link on this podcast page along with Natalie's details. So thank you again for joining us today, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.